the county service veteran officer that works with the MNDVA to ensure the benefits. Because some of these individuals don't even think they qualify, but they just need someone to help them through that process. And so a lot of the services are actually provided for them.
Beyond Active Duty, Caring for Those Who Served is produced by AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, providing our veterans with help. Veterans can find that help online at minnesotaveteran.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Bonjour, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Mary Lyons of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. She's a spiritual advisor, storyteller, activist, wisdom keeper, and revered elder. Mary Lyons is the founder of the Minnesota Coalition on Fetal Alcohol Syndrome and serves as a counselor for the Women's Sobriety Group, which she also co-founded, called Women of Wellbriety International. Mary generously shared traditional teachings, her wise approach to healing, and life-changing spiritual guidance. We spoke with Mary Lyons in June of 2022. Enjoy.
You don't have to own what we're saying, but what it is to not plant a seed in you because it's already in you. It's just to water that knowledge in you for you yourselves to grow.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Mi gwech for joining us today. Native Lights is, at its core, a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Every week, we have wonderful conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. We talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around this big point of purpose in our lives. And I can't wait to continue amplifying Native voices. And how are you doing, Leah? What's going on?
I am fine. It's,
that was very monotone.
That's my robot voice. No, I'm good. There's like just a million mosquitoes. They really get on my nerves.
Oh man, there's already mosquitoes up there?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, they've been around. There's a ton of them, but the dragonflies are slowly coming out, so there's hope. But, oh my goodness, it's tough. How are you doing, Cole?
Good. There's not too many mosquitoes down in St. Louis Park just yet. Otherwise, we're trying to like look at houses and stuff like that. But a good thing that came out of that is our real estate agent, who is Mille Lacs band member Bernie Johnson Clark. She suggested our guest today, and I just wanted to thank her for that.
Awesome.
Our guest today is a great grandmother who shares lessons and guidance. And her name is Mary Lyons. Mary Lyons is an Ojibwe elder of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. She's a spiritual advisor, storyteller, activist, and wisdom keeper. She is the founder of the Minnesota Coalition on Fetal Alcohol Syndrome. And she serves as a counselor for the Women's Sobriety Group, which she also co-founded, called Women of Wellbriety International. And she's also the author of a book published in 2018 called Wisdom Lessons, Spirited Guidance from an Ojibwe Great-Grandmother. And she's an international keynote speaker.
Well, I look forward to talking with her.
Thanks for joining.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Ani, bonjour.
Bonjour.
It's an honor to talk to you.
It's nice meeting you. How did you come across me?
Actually, my real estate agent, who is also a Mille Lacs band member, read your book and suggested that we talk to you.
That couldn't be my realtor.
Is it Bernie?
Bernie sells our house.
There you go. Bonjour, Mary. Could you please introduce yourself and where you're joining us from?
Oh, bonjour, Nish, Nibi, Iko, Indis, Nakaz. My name is Second Water Woman. I'm Madewin. I'm Anishinaabe, Ojibwe First Nations, father's side, Anishinaabe, Ojibwe, Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, on my mother's state side. I am south of Minneapolis. I am on Dakota territory, and it's good to join you.
It's great to have you here. So we like to always ask, like, how are you and, you know, your family doing, you know, during the pandemic 2022?
Well, you know, the pandemic, I thought was going to, we've been through pandemics before, right? So nothing's really a great scare, especially to the original, the indigenous people and out there, because we have, we're kind of the last group of people to know anything. And we're kind of the last group of, or probably the first group of people to catch anything, because we're not so familiar or have that resistance within the global diseases and out there. So, I mean, you know, for people or indigenous people, especially our families, to be quarantined, that's nothing new for us, because recently we were just released from quarantine within, you know, the last 100 years, you know, being put on a reservation lifestyle, being monitored here, you know, you're still even monitored by the Bureau of Indian Affairs and stuff. So this isn't anything new to us. So having to go through this, it was wonderful, especially myself being in the climate justice world. You know, to me, it was, you know, less cars, you know, there was less things happening, mother, you know, so there was a lot of things that were happening. And for myself to be working on another novel, I kind of, that was probably about the difficultest for me, because I kind of got stuck on it because it became really secondary to me. And I just started enjoying, because we lived generational, four generations in our home, tutoring the grandchildren and the great granddaughter, doing more crafting, going out and doing more nature things, you know, being in the environment, you know, but yet being away from the populations and out there. And I think it was just time to really find balance again and to really examine where we're at in this planet and what we're doing as individuals, you know, that's either contributing either good to it or bad to it. And to really explain to those young ones how our traditions can never be lost. So we had this huge kind of refresher dialogue through these 2 years. And it was really something, because I got to really witness my granddaughters growing up before my very eyes, because I travel a lot internationally. And that's the only time I see the growth spurts, is if I'm gone and I come back and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're turning into women. So now I actually got to witness, you know, that upbringing. So for me, during this era, was good, and it was sour, because, you know, I witnessed a lot of our relatives passing on, witnessed a lot of the fallout in the aftermath of, you know, the January 6th in our last administration, you know, so it just seems like everything came to an explosion. And of course, after an explosion, there's always a cleanup. And then you may have some eruptions, you know, and so this all happened, and it happened in such an abundance. And we got to really witness how society is looking at reality. And so that's one really interesting point. We had another dialect in that there is because, you know how most people, even yourself, including myself, anybody, I was saying, oh, I wish I had more time. Oh, I wish I didn't have to work so much. Wish I could just stay home. I wish I didn't have to do nothing. You know, we had this wish. And so I told my granddaughters and anybody that was on Zoom, you know, when we put these wishes out to the universe, we finally got it granted to us, that we wanted, creator, and everybody said, here it is. And then we didn't know what to do with that. So we have to really be careful what we wish for. But I think, you know, within this time where it stood still, is that Earth itself really had to remind each one of us within her breath of being to transmit either good or bad in this stuff, that we are just mere little individuals in this planet and out there. So we have to start paying attention to how well we take care of our homes. So it was a great reminder. Also, within this pandemic, we witnessed a lot of fear. Fear came from not being able to go out and it was lockdown. Fear from going into the grocery stores, you know, into Cobb, into Walmart, into the food aisles, and food and everything was vanishing off, and there was no replacement. So people were panicking, and they were You could see them buying in bulk. And it was, you know, we watched this and my granddaughter said to me, well, Pookum, aren't you going to get a few more items? And I said, no, honey. I said, you know what? We've got seeds and we've got the ground. We garden. Because, you know, I said, what people don't realize, I said, you know, 125 years ago or something, we never had a water bill. We never had electricity bill. We never had a gas bill. The people of the land here on Turtle Island, our grocery stores was the forest with the berries and, you know, and we didn't go to the freezer part. We went fresh fish or, you know, we did community hunting and this stuff and we made everything. So we'll never go hungry. What we had to have them resonate with is that you have to be careful of your laziness, because the laziness, you trust in these cans and all this food that's brought into you, your drive-throughs, you know, I'm going to get this and get that, that's, you know, just doing damage to your heart and out there, is that the marketing of human beings, of their needs, is so great that the commodity isn't like a new phone or something else. The commodity always has been human beings. And so you have to be careful what you walk into, who's going to manipulate you, you know, that game of monopoly. You have that choice of putting your foot in there. So you don't walk into it fear and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, all these cans of food's gone or all these spaghetti's gone and out there. No, you have to trust on what our ancestors provided for us, because they never had this year and they lived for thousands of years. So, you know, don't show that fear. We'll never go hungry.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Mary Lyons of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. She's a spiritual advisor, storyteller, activist, wisdom keeper, and revered elder. We had a great and extended talk with her, so we couldn't get it all in this episode. So the full version of this conversation can be found on MinnesotaNativeNews.org.
So what's on your mind right now? Is there something that is resonating with you that you're thinking about and reflecting on?
Yes. Well, we're all water carriers, right? Our bodies are made up of mostly water. And being with Daywin and our lineage line and our ancestral stories is that our creation stories, we believe we come from the stars, right? Our spirit meets with the creator and we have this original agreement that we'll come to earth and come as a student, walk as a student, and leave as a student. And when we come, we enter our mother's womb and we swim in those oceans for up to 9 months while she builds this beautiful blanket of a body around our spirit. And when we meet that day, that doorway, we take that first breath air, and then we feel the warmth of the fire. And we nourish and we plant our feet on earth. You see, those are only four elements. Those four elements shows no prejudice, and everything within this planet depends on those four elements. And they said, you know, within part of the prophecies and part of our birch bark scrolls and that there, I'm very fortunate because my father was born in the late 1800s. His mother that I never met was 52 when she birthed him. And her mother was born in the late 1700s. That's the only knowledge I have. I only got four generations within that lifespan. Well, three, my father and what he spoke of his mother and his grandmother. So in a lot of the teachings in this stuff, we never had dialect of conversations. But one of the things was always kept to us is that if we stand within our balance and knowing who we are and honoring those elements, we will succeed as our ancestors succeeded. If you taint or disregard those elements, then you sever your own thread to move forward and you empty your bags of seeds to grow in the future. And he always spoke like that because he would never say what you wanted to hear. He never made life easy for you because he always said, Don't walk in my shoes. I already know what that journey looks like. You know who we are, and I want to see you shine from a distance in your own moccasins. So he had such trust. But they said, you know, in those prophecies, they said, we'll be born in the purest of waters. And when we enter this world, we'll look for the most taintedest of wells. And that prophecy flips when you're nearing that eighth fire. But they don't speak of it like the eighth fire, as everybody does now. They said there will come a time when you reach that doorway. You can either go right or left. That you need to know who you are, because your wells will be that flip. People will start to be born in the most taintedest of waters in the womb. And now they're looking for the most purest of wells, which means that when you were born in the beginning, you had purification of those waters. And when you enter this world, that enticement is alcohol and tainted waters. And now the wells that the spirits are born into, they're born into contaminated waters because of alcoholism and drugs and, you know, all of this stuff to disrupt your cloak of your body around your spirit. Nothing's wrong with your spirit. Your spirit's well, but it's this body that's damaged. And then you'll start looking for the most cleanest of waters where it reverses. And we're in that time because our water resources and this stuff is thinning. It's thinning because of greed and the contamination. Even though this planet is made up of so much water, it's a very small percentage of this water that Mother Earth entrusted to the human beings to see how well they would take care of it. And when people say, oh, we're killing this planet, that's a grandiose thought. That thinking comes from a hierarchy of greed. You can't kill her. I mean, look at us little people to this massive planet, right? No, what we're doing is we're doing it to ourselves, but to make it feel powerful and more threatening is that we have to take that ownership. And so we're in this time. And if you look around in our communities, in our indigenous communities, and in our children and this stuff, we have so many fetal alcohol children out there. We have so many little innocents in this stuff that are struggling. We have so many of our communities in this stuff that are self-destructing. They don't even know that they have a choice to move from it. They just believe this is one lifestyle, that imprint of those first learnings when they first come in here. Instead of being a student and moving about and learning everything there is to learn in this time, they come and they mimic behaviors of destruction. And they end up dying, suicides, murder, you know, whatever it may be, dying of alcoholism, whatever it may be. But the thing is, their empowerment button is hidden so deep in them that they don't even know they have it there. So what we're witnessing is part of that prophecies, because also within those original agreements is that not only is we'll come as a student, walk as a student, we're also the original gardeners of the lands Creator entrusted us to live in. And if we don't take care of our gardens and know what those passages are, our trees and our plant life, and everything around, and if we ignore those, we're beginning to die a slow death of our future seeds. And that's why we say, you know, our seeds, we're spilling them all over here. So we'll have nothing to plant in the future. The other part of it too is that myself, we say within the we never say me, because me is so self-centered and selfish. It's the we, because your spirit lives inside your body. But you, when you enter this space, this world, this water, we all know that has memory. And so every ounce of DNA is just like that download, just like this computers we're on. So when your spirit enters there, you get downloaded 9 months of all your ancestry and anything that walked within this planet beforehand. So that's why we see our ancestors are in us and they're all around us. That is a ceremonial foundation. That is our structure. That is who we are as Anishinaabe people. And so this movement of what is happening is that it's almost like you can say we have this super cocoon that is our spirit, you know, that takes care of us, but we're not taking care of that. And so we're falling and we're creating our own destructions. This is what is happening now, what you're seeing. No matter where you look or see, people only validate things if they see it on TV, right? Oh my gosh, it's happened. No, it happens every day, you know? The mass killing of kids, the mass killing of people, that's been going on since 500-600 years ago. And the thing is, if they really want to fix something, they could fix it. But people don't realize that now they're voluntarily being that commodity. They're on that factory belt of letting society imprint and tell them what they are to be like. And it's part of that water in that beginning, that contamination, is that it kind of like numbs your whole thought process and that there. And what this does is it puts your spirit to sleep. And when your spirit's asleep, well, let's say you don't know who's dancing in your body because you do crazy stuff. You do things, you know. Just think 125 years, 150 years ago, all our people never lived this way. And our people today, you know, they're tattooed up, gang signs. If not, you know, they took on a characteristic of paying for 4 to 6 years of degrees of information that buries them so deep within thought so they can fit into a society that tried to whip them into shape to be like them, kill an Indian, save the man. So we bought into that system. We bought into not being who we really are. And we voluntarily chose to hide our empowerment button of who we are as individuals. So when we sit and we look around, is that people are finding it hard these days just to be kind. And what that means is our 7 sacred teachings in the Anishinaabe world, the grandfathers, the grandmothers' teachings and this stuff, is flipping and it's starting to fade because love is no longer love. It's lust. Courage is threatening. Who says, quit looking at my man, quit looking at my woman, you know? This mentality within the sacredness of who we are as Indigenous people is being lost. We no longer have that freedom saying, come on in, sit down, have a cup of coffee, have a meal with us. Because we carry so much fear because we don't even know if our people are going to come in and steal or rob from us or if they're on drugs or whatever it may be. So we're so guarded. So this is where this thinking of when you ask that question, is that us elders, the wisdom keepers, we can say, be careful of the question you ask because you might not like the answer. You don't have to own what we're saying, but what it is to not plant a seed in you because it's already in you. It's us to water that knowledge in you for you yourselves to grow. Does that make sense? We talk in riddles because we cannot give anybody the actual answer to a question they ask.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Mary Lyons of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. She's a spiritual advisor, storyteller, activist, wisdom keeper, and revered elder.
Mary Lyons had so much wisdom to impart that the full conversation of this show can be found on our website, minnesotanativenews.org, and our podcast stream.
A big part of our, you know, show is finding purpose and finding your place. You know, I've heard you talk about gardens and finding, you know, maybe the wrong garden and trying too many places. I'm just curious about your thoughts on that.
Well, there's 2 components to that. You know, your garden is your homelands where Creator put you, right? You are the caretaker of these lands, which we can ask kids today, you know, what is this and what is that and what is your plant life and this stuff, and they kind of just look at you like, but it doesn't mean they don't want to learn. But you have to build their curiosity up. You have to pull them back in because, and I think this is one form you can say, because these little individuals are our seeds of our future. You see, I was blessed to be with my mother, my grandmother, and my great-grandmother. And now I'm with my daughter, my granddaughter, and my great-granddaughter. And who within my teachings of my ancestral, my family line, is that's the way we explain seven generations. You can't think seven generations ahead if you don't know what seven generations were in the past. But even though those teachings are accurate and they're right, no matter who teaches it, it's how it's explained. You see, I can carry the knowledge of my great-grandmother to my great-granddaughter. So this is that seed. When you're harvesting that seed is the knowledge that I can reassure you that when my great-granddaughter sits in the seat where I'm at and she talks about me as her great-grandmother to her great-granddaughter or grandchild, is that she's that preservation, that seed keeper, that knowledge keeps moving forward of who we are as the original gardeners, as Anishinaabe people of this land. And you can't forget really who we are, and especially when you speak about in the gardens and the nourishment and that there, you have to maintain knowledge. You can't initiate protocol of taking and planting something if you don't maintain that knowledge of why it is to be. Because as long as you maintain that knowledge that is awakened, everybody has it, mind you. Everybody has it, but it has to be awoken inside of you. It's there. It's implanted in you. You can't run away from who you are. It's there. Your ancestors are in you, and they're all around you, and they're just waiting to wake up. So people think of, when we speak of seeds, is this is a nourishment of keeping our knowledge alive to be those good caretakers within this planet, because we come as a student, walk as a student, we live as a student. And so there's that protocol of maintaining for our future to keep going. Even if there was a group of 10 people and they never birthed a child even within them, we as Anishinaabe individual people, we have relatives that exceed beyond our DNA, and we grasp and we take them in us and they become our family, that they will carry that knowledge forward. Because we came as caretakers. We are not to be landlords here. Mm-hmm. A lot of young people get kind of confused on that because they think, well, I'm carrying the future. Well, what do you say to a person that can't have children? That's a grandiose thought. It's that knowledge of how you be that good caretaker instead of that landlord is to keep producing that goodness forward. You can't fall asleep, or at least we no longer can be asleep, because look what's happening.
Thank you to great-grandmother Mary Lyons. She is an elder from Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, a spiritual advisor, activist, wisdom keeper, storyteller, and author of a book called Wisdom Lessons, Spirited Guidance from an Ojibwe Great-Grandmother. And we'll have that in the show notes.
Again, the full version of this conversation can be found on MinnesotaNativeNews.org and our podcast stream.
I'm Cole Primo.
I'm Leah Lem.
Miigwech for listening.
Gigawabamin. Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for Fresh Air Community Radio comes from KFAI listeners, members, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Stay tuned for Corazon Latino here on KFAI. Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos. It's 1:59, la 1:59, and we'll be right with you with Corazón Latino.